growing up, I had the opportunity to be christened in the Methodist Church. Parents wanted to kind of get me started off in the right way early. And later on, I was baptized in Baptist Church. I remember baptism experience very well. I remember going down into the water. I remember coming back up. It was a meaningful experience. But it's one that I really didn't come to understand and to fully appreciate until I got older and older and older and older. But I'm so glad that I had that experience. Think back today about your own experiences. And if you came from different Protestant denomination or Catholic faith, you may have experienced a slightly different form. But think about that experience. Because the question that today we want to really address is the significance of baptism in terms of the life we live. What does it mean? And I'm not talking about works, okay? Not the faith and works thing. But what about the significance of the life we live now? Living the baptized life. What does that mean? As I began to think about that, I began to ask myself some questions. And you may find yourselves asking some of the same ones. How teachable am I? Depends. It depends on what it is. How trusting am I? Are we? Again, on some things it's easy to trust, on others it's a little harder. What shapes us? What molds us? What's really in first place in our life? Now, we know as Christians that Jesus Christ is to be first place in our life. He is our Lord and our Master. But do we on a daily basis, every day, live that way? Sometimes more than others. But living the baptized life. You see, it's easy to get skeptical. It's easy to get jaded. It's easy for something else to come into our life, or can be easy for something to come into our life that displaces God being in first place in our life. Financial resources are important. But do we worship that? Relationships with people are important, but our relationship with God is above all what? Relationships. All of them. All of them. Success. In whose eyes? God's eyes or our eyes? Now, don't get me wrong. I've fought the success battle, and I've climbed the success ladder. But there's more to life than that. A whole lot more. A whole lot more. Because what does success look like in God's eyes? Because now you're talking about the kingdom of God and God's kingdom. So, as Christians, what are we called to do? Well, if we profess our faith in Jesus as our Lord and Savior, then baptism will be a symbol of our what? commitment. A symbol of our commitment. And think about it. What was one of the last things that Jesus left us with? Go ye therefore into all the nations and what? Proclaim the good news. Baptize new believers. Isn't that interesting? Proclaim, baptize, and disciple. Proclaim, baptize, and disciple. We have plenty to do to honor the kingdom, to honor Jesus as Lord of our life. When Jesus was baptized in the Jordan, as he came up out of that water, the heavens opened, God proclaims, this is my son in whom I am what? Well pleased. And the spirit of the dove symbolized the presence. Baptism marked the beginning of Jesus' ministry. Baptism led to the what? Cross. And to the empty tomb. Baptism symbolizes new life. New life. And Jesus' ministry was to tell us what that new life is about. And the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is to remind us continually of what that new life is. So, what does baptism mean for us? What does it really mean for each one of us? Well, one thing, it means we're obedient to Christ. Peter, in Acts, in one of the first sermons, talked about the importance of being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the repentance of what? Sins. And the receiving of what? The Holy Spirit. Repentance, obedience to Christ, forgiveness of sins, conquering of death, and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Baptism also is a symbol of our testimony. Think about it. Of our testimony of who we say we are. Of our witness to the world. Again, baptism doesn't save us. It's a reminder of who we are. It symbolizes who we are. It also lets us know that we are not the Lord of our life. God is. Jesus is. It reminds us of newness of life, that we have been born again, and that our lives are being continuously transformed. We are works in progress, always adapting, always changing. I am learning one thing with three grandchildren. Old dogs can learn new tricks. Amen? Amen. Old dogs can learn new tricks. We're continually being remade in Christ's image. And because Jesus lives and the Holy Spirit resides in us, we can't just face tomorrow. I like that song. Because he lives, we can face tomorrow. But don't forget, we can also face today. Because he lives. We can face each day. Because he lives. See, baptism delivers us from the power of sin and death in our lives. And in baptism, we participate in the newness of life and in Jesus' death and resurrection. Don't believe me? Listen to what Paul has to say. In Romans chapter 6, if you'd like to turn to this passage, Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. What should we say then? Should we continue to sin so that grace may multiply? In other words, can I game the system? Can I play the Lord on this one? What should we say then? Should we continue in sin so that grace may multiply? Absolutely not. How can we who died to sin, to sin still live in it? Or are you unaware that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We forget that too often. All of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. Therefore, we were buried with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too may walk in newness of life. That's what baptized life is about. Walking in the newness of life. We get bogged down, correct? Life gets hard. Life gets challenging. But we can walk daily in the newness of life. And sometimes it's hard. It's real hard. But it's necessary. It's necessary that we remember that we have newness of life each and every day. For if we have been united with him in the likeness of his death, we will certainly also be in the likeness of his resurrection. See, baptism, death of the old person, resurrection of the new person in Christ. Now, what does the baptized life look like? What are some of its characteristics? Peter helps us here. In 2 Peter, chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. He gives us insight into what the baptized life looks like. And so to kind of help help out with that a little bit, let's take a look at the first couple of verses in 2 Peter and then look more detailed about the characteristics. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. His divine power has given us everything required for life and godliness. We have it all. God's Spirit indwells within us. His divine power has given us everything required of life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. By these he has given us very great and precious promises. God keeps his promises, so that through them you may share in the divine nature, escaping the corruption that is in the world because of evil desire. See, we battle God's presence versus the presence of the world in our life each and every day. It's a constant battle. God's presence, the world's presence. Then Peter goes on and says, for this reason, here's some things that are godlike, that are Christ-like. These are some things in our lives that can make a difference. And it can make a difference in how we face each day. First, faith. Faith. It all begins with faith. Belief and trust in God. Belief and trust in Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Not ourselves. Not what we do. But what God does through each one of us. Through what God does through us. Goodness. Remember, we're not good people. We are sinners saved by grace. We're asked to go about doing good because that's what Christ was about. Seeing the good in everyone. Hard to see good in people sometimes, isn't it? Hard to see good in ourselves sometimes, if we're honest. Knowledge. I've been down that route. I went to seminary, graduate school, had a lot of questions. And one thing I learned from the whole experience, I had 10 times more questions when I finished than when I began. Okay? Knowledge only goes so far. Knowledge only goes so far. I kind of look at knowledge like an iceberg. Knowledge gives you about 1/8, and the other 7/8 are underwater, and you don't see it until life smacks you in the face. Then you start to see it a little bit. You see, knowledge is God's word. Knowledge is here. Is the Bible under attack in today's culture? Absolutely. We want to reduce this just to the words of people and not God's word. But God's word is here. Knowledge is here. And at different points in our life, we see it more so than others. But that truth stands. It doesn't waver. It stands. This next one I'll self-control. Carol, can I get a witness? You notice her silence. Self-control. That Ezekiel 36:26, that's a good life verse. It really is. And I have to admit, it's really gotten through to me this week in a very powerful way. You know, sometimes God's got to hit you over the head with something to get your attention. And I got to thinking, new heart. That's good. New desires. That's good too. And a new spirit. A new spirit. Heart, desires, and spirit. It also means overhaul. Sometimes our lives need to be overhauled. And God can do it. God will do it if we will allow Him. Endurance, long-term commitment. Going the distance even when you don't know what way you're going. I was watering the yard yesterday. I've been patching up all these spots. So I'm thankful for the rain today. I tell you, I'm really thankful for it. Patching up all these spots. And, you know, I got this covering over the well top. And I got this lizard that lives in there. And so I've named him Willard. Don't ask me why. Just seemed like a good name. And so Willard came out yesterday, and he decided he was going to look around. And I kept my eye on him because I didn't want to step on him. But he's out there in the yard somewhere, in the grass. He may come back under. He may work his way back under, but he got out for a while. But I was thinking about it. He wanted to see what was out there. He wanted to know what was going on. He was tired of living under that fake rock. You know, sometimes we just got to get out there and live life as God intended it to be. Live it, but live it for the Lord. Godliness. May we extend grace, mercy, generosity, and forgiveness to all the people we encounter. That's a big deal. Because, see, our heart has to be right. Our desires have to be right. Our spirit has to be right to do that. Brotherly affection, love one another, and respect life. You know, I look back over from the time I was in my 20s to now in my 70s. So that's a 50-year span. A lot has happened in 50 years. The world I encountered at a when I went as a freshman in college and the world I encounter now are two different worlds. But God is still what? In charge. Jesus is still Lord. The power of his message is still as real now as it was then. But it changes. And so how do we continue to speak to the world as it constantly changes? How do we continue to be the light when there are attempts all around us to snuff us out? We do it through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, which resides in each one of us and is transforming us into being more Christ-like each and every day. Brotherly affection, love and respect. Life. Love and respect life. And then finally, agape love. Unconditional love. What is it like to experience the world through God's eyes? Not a world that we make on the basis of our ability to seize power and to enforce what we want. But what does it look like to see the world through God's eyes and to see people as people? If we can get to the point where we can see another human being as another human being and show God's unconditional love, will we be a far way down the road? Yes, we will. Yes, we will. Because that's what Christ is asking us to do. To see each other as God sees us. And to love each other as God loves us. And to speak God's truth. Not what we want, but God's truth. So, what's the application? I got to thinking. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, it's got that verse about the cord with three strands. It's hard to break it. It's like I'm thinking about that. So what might it look like in our life? One cord is accept Jesus' lordship in our life. That's one cord. The second cord, receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in our life. Jesus promised it. He said it's going to be available, and it is. And then the third cord, bury the past. Bury the past. We are all born again. And I kind of look at it this way. Don't think I'm crazy. When we rise up each morning and we find out we're here, still here on earth, we've been born again for another day. We've been born again for another day. How will we live it? What will we do with it? Will we waste it? Or will we live it honoring God, becoming more Christ-like, becoming His disciples? So, as we get ready to sing the invitation hymn, "Are you washed in the blood?" We are, many of us have been washed in that blood. But it's every day. It's each and every day. And if you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, accept Him today. Welcome Him into your life. Wherever you are, acknowledge that you are a sinner saved by the grace that Jesus Christ is giving you, by the victory over your sin and the victory over death and the promise of life everlasting. May we not pass up on the offer of eternal life that Jesus offers each one of us. And may we never forget our commitment to live the Christ-like life. Amen.